Amen. Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. Let's look here for just a minute. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Stand with me. I'm going to read several verses. Mark 4, begin reading in verse number 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. The whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. He said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. He said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." He said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" Of course, verse 14 down through verse number 20, the Lord takes this small portion of the great multitude that has sought of him the answer and question him concerning the meaning of this parable we look at this morning. He goes into great detail and depths of describing the doctrinal truths that are there. We'll look at those verses on next week. But we understand this morning that this is the matter, what is known as the parable of the sower. I want to preach today, if the Lord will help me on this thought, what's happening with the seed? What's happening with the seed? Heavenly Father, this morning we love you and we're thankful for the Lord Jesus and the testimonies, Lord, that have been spoken about his grace, about his saving power, and about the change that he's made in lives. Lord, the different things that folk have been grateful for, they've stirred our heart. And we're thankful, Lord, for their testimony and their gratitude as has been expressed today. So many of us others could, Lord, add to those things, Lord, till we was here, Lord, till the sun went down, just praising you for your goodness and thanking you, Lord, for all those blessings that you've so freely bestowed upon us. Lord, I pray now, Lord, as we have give you thanks, would, Lord, you receive our requests this morning. Lord, our burden of our heart today for the next few moments would be that you would use this for your honor and your glory. Lord, we identify with so many that have already said this morning, we deserve hell. We deserve to be lost forever, but Lord, we are saved. And Lord, we have been called to do what we're standing here getting ready to do. But Lord, we confess we cannot do it without your help. And so I pray you'd make the word of God alive in our hearing and in our hearts and in our minds and in our wills. Lord, may we be turned, Lord, this morning to our God and to truth and to right. Lord, I pray those that have been shoving truth off and rejecting the Lord Jesus and the truth of the gospel or the truth of holy living. Lord, I pray this morning there would be a stop sign, Lord, shown to them that, Lord, would put their path on pause. That, Lord, today, Lord, they would humble themselves, submit themselves, Lord, to the work you desire to do in them. And all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The context of this setting, I believe it's clearly stated in verses 1 and 2, that the Lord's ministry continues to grow and continues to expand. Remember in chapter number 3 that we had dealt often with different forces or different groups of people that have been coming against the Lord in His earthly ministry. We looked at the fact that the devil used the Lord's very friends to try to distract Him and discourage Him in His earthly ministry. We looked at the foes and those that were in opposition to the message that Christ had come to preach, that a man must repent and believe the gospel. And those foes were of a religious nature, stuck in their dead religion, stuck in their way of perception, stuck in their opinion, stuck in the way they see things, and how they have made themselves as the foes of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt in my mind that the devil was using the foes and the friends. And then we preached last week, as we looked at even the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, His own mother and brethren had tried to stop Him from doing that the Father had sent Him to do. But I'm thankful that when we come to chapter number 4 and in verse number 1, amen, it didn't matter whether it was the friends, the foes, or His family. The Lord is still engaged in ministry. He's still serving. They have not deterred Him. They have not stopped Him. They have not discouraged Him. And in fact, they have not even been able to stop others from coming to the One and is doing so much and is preaching so much truth to the culture and the generation in which the Lord Jesus Christ lived in this earth. And so when we study and set the context, I see the fact that there is the people. The Bible said, Mark said, that there was a great multitude. There's not a handful. There was not not just a band of people that had came. Mark said at this point in time of the Lord's earthly ministry, and there is a great multitude. They are coming from far and wide, and they're coming from everywhere, and they are assembling as a people gathered unto Him. I see that they've come to Him, no doubt, to see some miracle that would be done. No doubt they've come to see what He would do next. Brother Jack, there is excitement and anticipation in the air as the great multitude shows up. They're just watching every little move that He makes to see what is going to be done next. You see, through the first 3 chapters, it seems like with each passing miracle, amen, there's something greater being done. Something more exciting has been accomplished. And the people are there in the setting, in the background. But as much was the case of the Lord's earthly ministry, and though He performed a lot of miracles, anytime the Lord had an opportunity with a great multitude around Him, He was going to preach His message one more time. Amen. And here He's going to preach it from a very unusual place. In fact, I call this the pulpit. We see the people, but we see the pulpit. And as such a crowd is gathered around the Lord and they're pressing upon Him, He has now found Himself with His back to the sea. And so in order to be able to preach to them, He steps into a ship. He launches a little way out into the sea, and from there he makes the ship His pulpit. It's been said that from this very place of preaching, this very platform that has been chosen, and the Lord would preach, His voice would be amplified across the waters, and from there it would roll across the land. That literally the Lord's voice could have been heard, not just by those that maybe we're standing ankle deep in the water, but Brother Larry, by those that had gathered along the hillside, at the Lord lifting up His voice from such a pulpit, a man was literally piercing the countryside, and folk, and no matter what they were doing, could stop and listen and plainly and clearly hear the message and the doctrine the Lord Jesus Christ was going to preach. Amen. I'm thankful for the day that I heard a man preaching from a pulpit. Amen. The eternal truths and word of Almighty God. Amen. I may have been one in the crowd, but thank God. Amen. There was somebody that had a message to be exactly what I needed to hear. And so we see the people in the pulpit, but there begins to be a change now in the Lord's approach to preaching. Not that he's not used this matter of parables before, but now he's really going to be, lay in upon communicating truth by way of the parables. In fact, when we come to Mark chapter number 4, there are 4 parables that we'll be studying that are given by Christ in this very chapter. And the first of which, and the foremost of which, is found in verses 1 through verse number 20. And we know this as the parable of the sower. A parable of the sower. The importance of this parable cannot be emphasized. And I really want you to listen this morning. It really cannot be emphasized too much. In fact, in the reading that we've done this morning, when the Lord gives this parable, there is the 12 and some others that privately come to the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, why are you teaching this in parables? What is the meaning of this that you have given?" And the Lord said in our closing verse we read this morning, verse 13, "Know ye not this parable?" And how then will you know all parables? If we're to look at what is called the synoptic gospels, that being what Matthew and Luke said in conjunction, to what Mark is dealing with and saying in light of the parable of the sower, we would learn that Christ is saying that to understand the parable of the sower is of necessity if you are to understand any other eternal truth. If you're to understand the gospel, if you're to understand holy living, if you're to understand the depths of the doctrines of the Word of God, it all begins by understanding the parable of the sower. If you miss what Jesus is teaching here, you will always be blinded to truth. If you miss what he is communicating in this parable, you will always be deaf. You will never be able to comprehend. You'll never be able to understand the things of God. Amen. Will always be mute to your heart if you do not understand the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, there are 3 things that are at play. There are 3 things that are dealt with. There, in fact, we may even say the Lord alliterated by way of a 3-point outline in the parable of the sower for our simple understanding. In the parable of the sower, it bears importance to say and to know that the Lord deals with the sower. He said, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." And so in the parable of the sower, there is the sower. You say, "Preacher, who is the sower?" I believe the sower is the Son of God. Amen. It is the Lord Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh 2,000 years ago. Amen. He is the one that has come to sow. Amen. Thank God for the Son of God, the sower of what we'll see in a moment, the seed. Amen. Upon the soil of the hearts of mankind. Amen. May I say in the parable of the sower, when we see the sower, amen, this is not an amateur sower. Amen. This is not somebody who woke up one day and thought, "I'm going to go sow a field," and watched a few YouTube videos, amen, about sowing and went out to do the best he could do. Oh no, friend, the Bible said there went out a sower. Amen. He's not a car mechanic trying to sow. Amen. He ain't a banker trying to sow. Amen. He is a sower. Amen. It's what he does. It's what his job is. Amen. It's what his passion in life is. Amen. The sower, can I say today? Amen. and I see in the sower the Son of God. Amen. You see somebody who is a sower. Amen. And the sower that is in the parable today. And I say he's a good sower. Amen. He's not a bad sower. He's not an evil sower. Amen. He's sowing seed that, amen, is expected to bring a harvest that is going to be used to feed hungry bellies. He ain't sowing poison ivy. He ain't sowing, amen, vile things that would have a negative impact on society. He is a good sower. And I say, I believe in this text we can find, amen, that he is a generous sower. The Bible said there went out a sower to sow. Amen. And when we read in the text, this sower, amen, we'll see in a moment in maybe a little more detail. Amen. He is generous in his sowing. You see, to sow is different than to plant. He's not planting one little seed here and one little seed there. Amen. A sower that is sowing is generously dispersing seed, amen, throughout the field. And I say, when I think about the sower, the Son of God, amen, he's a good sower, he's a generous sower, and thank God he's a gracious sower. Amen. He don't care how far and what corner he's got to get into. Amen. He graciously sows what he is sowing, amen, in any part of the field. And so we see the Son of God. And then we see not only the sower, but we see the seed. Jesus said, we didn't read it this morning, but verse number 14, here's what the Lord said. He said, the sower soweth the word. And the sower is the Son of God. But the seed is the word of God. Amen. Jesus would plainly declare that in Matthew's account. The seed is the word of God. And so we find here in the sowing, the sower is sowing, and he is sowing seed that is representative of the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is truth. Amen. And so the seed that is being sown, we could say, amen, is the truth of the gospel. It is the truth of the Word of God. It is any kind of truth, eternal truth, and spiritual truth, and biblical truth. Amen, they can be imparted unto a man, woman, boy, or girl this morning. And I say this morning, thank God for his word. Amen, thank God for truth today. And the emphasis that the word of God puts upon truth, amen, needs to be emphasized in this day, in this hour. Hey, you've heard of this term before, that and it goes back many, many, many years ago, but it's making a comeback. And it is the term postmodernism. And postmodernism in the day in which, amen, it came upon the scenes of human history, it really was a way of thinking. It was a philosophy that people lived by. And postmodernism said, amen, that truth is something that is relative. Amen, you have your truth, I have my truth. You have your way of seeing things, I have my way of seeing things. And postmodernism brought humanity, amen, in great crises, and we are still paying the price for to this very day. Amen, I want to say this morning, postmodernism says, ought to be something that is making a great comeback. And it is this idea that, amen, we can't really know truth. We can't really say for sure, amen, what is really right and what is really wrong. Amen, can I serve you notice today as a member of this generation? Amen, that is, to use Tim's word this morning, amen, that is hogwash, and it is hogwash from the very pits of hell. Amen. There is truth. There is right. And there is wrong. Who said, preacher, where in the world would that be settled? Amen. It's settled in the pages of the Word of God. It's not settled in your viewpoint of anything. It's not settled in your opinion about anything. Amen. God has settled truth in His Word. And truth, thank God, will endure to every generation. Amen. Buy the truth and sell it now. Amen. If you can find truth today. Amen. Oh, and you can in the pages of the Word of God. And if you can see it and you can hear it, if you can understand it, if you can perceive it, if you can lay grasp upon it, this morning I urge you to understand, amen, that seed ought to be very valuable to your life. Amen. The generation that is quickly forsaking truth, and a generation that is selling out truth, in a generation that seems to be utterly blind and deaf to truth. Jesus said in the parable of the sower, you better understand the seed. Amen. Can I say this morning in the parable of the sower, when we look at the sower and come to the seed, amen, we can say this morning the seed is plenty. Amen. It is plenty of seed. There is plenty of seed. Amen. There's never a verse it said the sower ran out of seed. Amen. He began to sow and he sowed and he sowed and he kept on sowing. And can I say, amen, to the very hour in which I'm preaching this morning, the fact that I'm taking the same seed, the same Word of God, and the same truth and declaring it. Amen. The sower is still sowing seed today. Amen. The seed is plenteous. The seed is precious. Amen. Oh, the seed is precious. Amen. To know truth, to have truth encounter our life, I have the Word of God confront us where we are. Amen. It's something that is very precious. And may I say, the seed in the text is not only plenteous and precious, but the seed is piercing. And you know what seed does? After it is sown and it lays on the soil. Amen. The whole objective of the seed, the power of the seed is that, amen, that seed can be germinated, and in being germinated, it begins to pierce through the soul that it is laying in. Now I say this morning, I thank God for the day that the seed not only fell on my life, but pierced my heart. The Word of God is piercing, and that's why this generation hates it. That's why there's a generation coming on the scene that they don't want to hear it. They don't want it sown in their life. Amen. They don't want a man of God. They don't want a child of God. They don't want a Christian. They don't want their parents. They don't want their friends to give them truth because, amen, they don't want it to pierce their heart. Jesus said a sower went to sow, and the seed, when it fell, it began immediately to try to pierce the heart and the soul it laid in. Amen. Can I say, I remember what it was like when I did not love truth and desire truth. Amen. I wanted to be blind and deaf to it. Amen. I remember when it used to be sown in my leg. Amen. And it pierced me and I didn't like it. Amen. But I'm telling you, 25 years of being saved, I bless the name of the Lord for the day. Let the truth fall, amen, into my life and upon my heart. Amen. It pierced me and it's made me what I am today. Amen. The sower is the Son of God. The seed is the Word of God. But the majority of what we call the parable of the sower deals with not the sower and not the seed. The majority of this parable deals with the soil, the ground upon which the sower is sowing the seed. Amen. Somebody says, well, why is that? Amen. I believe it is because there's nothing wrong with the sower.
May I say the seed is absolutely perfect. Amen. Sent to do and accomplish the task that seed always does. That Christ is emphasizing. Amen. That the sower is perfect and the seed is perfect. Amen. The problem by which a harvest, amen, will or will not be brought to pass, amen, it lies within the soil. And so the soil or the ground, amen, if the sower is the Son of God and the seed is the Word of God, the soil represents the heart and the will of man. Deals with that place in which the Lord disperses the seed of truth into our life. May I say, He did not come to be a sower of seed, a sower of truth, a sower of the Word. Amen, to intellectualize and to educate our minds. Amen, He came to sow the seed into the heart of every man, every woman, every young person. Amen, the sower wants the seed to fall. Amen, and it is falling upon the heart. Amen, as I'm preaching today, we're scattering seed in the name of Christ. Amen, we're giving truth. We're telling you about the gospel. Amen, we're preaching that there is, amen, truth to live by. And as we preach today, seed is flowing from the pulpit upon every heart of everybody listening. You may bow your heads, you may try to ignore it, you may, amen, sit there in hardness and sternness and rebellion. Amen, you may sit there even with a hateful spirit, so as to say, I don't want to hear this. Amen. But it matters not. Amen. Whether you receive it or reject it, the fact is the seed is being flung upon your heart. Amen. Amen. The heart and the will of man is where, amen, the sower is placing the seed. And it is there that a man, a woman, a young person, amen, it's there that it is determined what they're going to do with the truth. Amen. You see, the point of this parable is to reveal what is happening to the seed as truth is being presented, as truth is being scattered. Amen, the whole point of this is not some cutesy little story that Jesus is giving. Amen. It's not just some little story about farming and planting it and harvest time. Oh no. Amen. Christ is saying there's something, amen, deeper than all of this. Amen. It is the spiritual sowing of the spiritual seed within the heart and the will of man. And as the great multitude had gathered that day, really what he is telling them is, you have heard truth. You have been given the gospel. You have had the truth of what you are supposed to do with it sown into your heart. Christ now with a great multitude, He is laying the axe to the root, so to speak, so as to tell them, the fact you can't see it ain't my fault. The fact that you can't hear it is not a problem with the truth you've been given. The problem is something is happening with the seed. So I want to preach on what's happening with the seed. Give me just a few minutes, I'll be done. Number one, consider with me in the sowing of this seed. I see the reach of the sown seed. The reach of the sown seed. The Bible said, and I love, Brother Tim, how the Lord begins this. In fact, I almost entitled the message using these two words. He says, hearken, behold. Hearken, behold. Now, this is the whole point of the parable he's going to give. Listen and look. Pay attention with your ears and with your eyes. Are you listening? hearken and behold. Jesus is saying, don't miss it. You've missed the gospel thus far. You've ignored truth thus far. While you come again, while you're sitting in another service, while you're privileged to hear me preach another time, Jesus is saying, hey man, you need to hearken and you need to behold. You remember what we read down there in verse number 12? 11 and 12, Jesus said, amen, they're hearing, amen, that seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand. You see, the whole thing revolves around them, amen, having a spiritual eye to see spiritual truth and a spiritual ear to hear spiritual truth. Hearken and behold. Now, what are we beholding? I can see here, Brother Randy, is the Lord. He's in the ship. He's preaching, amen, using the ship as his pulpit. And the crowd is facing the sea. They're facing his direction. And I can see maybe all behind, amen, the hillside, maybe to the left, maybe to the right, maybe behind the congregation. At the Lord, Brother L, lifts his hand so as to say, behold, look over yonder, and on a hillside somewhere, hey man, there is a farmer, and he's put up his plow, the ground has been tilled, and he's got his bag of seed upon his shoulder. And the Lord said, behold, a sower went out to sow. And I can see him maybe pointing, and they turn and they see this visual, hey man, in real time of a sower that is sowing. Jesus said, a sower went out to sow. And notice with me the reach of the sown seed. You see, the sower sows the seed without discrimination. I want to say that again. The sower sows the seed without discrimination. Amen. May I say, when he goes to sow seed, amen, Jesus said there was seed sown on the wayside. There was seed sown on the stony ground. There was seed sown in the thorny ground. There was seed sown on the good ground. Amen. You see, my friend, the sower sows the seed without discrimination. It simply means he sowed. Amen. He sows on any and all souls. And he does so with the hope and anticipation of a coming harvest. He imagines a day when fruit will spring up. He imagines the opportunity of one seed falling upon, amen, just a little bit of good soil. Amen, my friend, it'll take root. Amen, it'll pierce down. It'll be embraced. It'll be received. And in day to come, there'll be a springing forth of a bud, and a bud into a blade, and a blade into a fruit. And Jesus is teaching the reach of the sown seed. May I remind you again today that the Lord would have all men to be saved. The Lord, my friend, you say, preacher, you don't know my background. You don't know how I think. You don't know how I see things, how I hear things. Amen. Can I say it doesn't matter to the sower? Amen. He's going to take the seed and he's going to keep sowing seed. Amen. Anticipating that one day, amen, you'll finally hear it and you'll finally see it and it'll finally make sense to your life. Oh, I'm glad the Lord sowed the seed in me. Oh, just a 17-year-old preacher's kid. Amen. This lady told me how mean she was. Amen. And she manifests that on the outside. Amen. But I was just as mean or meaner on the inside. Amen. I just had a daddy to knock the teeth out of my head. Amen. And knock me back in. Amen. Amen. Into yesteryears. Amen. If I'd have acted out the way I was on the inside. Amen. But you know what I'm thankful for? Amen. The sower kept on sowing. Amen. The sower kept on sowing. Amen. The sower kept on sowing. Amen. Even though I had a wayside heart, I had a stony heart, Dad. I had a thorny heart. I'm glad that the sower kept on sowing seed in my life. Some of you hate the seed. Some of you hate this preacher, but you don't really hate this preacher. You hate the sower. Amen. You hate the Son of God. You don't want nothing to do with it. Amen. But can I say in grace and in generosity? Amen. Because He's a good sower. Amen. You know what He does? He sows without discrimination, anticipating the day. Amen. One day you'll receive it. One day it'll make sense. One day you'll finally hear and see what He's been trying to give you all along. The reach. See, the sower don't care. Sissy testified about it this morning. Wasn't nobody in her family Christian? Wasn't nobody in her family saved? Wasn't nobody in her family going to church? Amen. But somehow the sower, amen, reached her on a mountainside. Amen. Reached her over there on River Street. Amen. Somehow the sower got the seed. Amen. Are you listening to me today? Somehow the sower got the seed to River Street. Amen. And the sower got, amen, her to a house of God. And got her to a man of God. Got her around the seed. And there may have been wayside. There may have been stony ground. There may have been thorns coming up. Amen. But the sower just kept on sowing. Amen. You may be being raised in church in a Christian home. Amen. And you got everything. You got everything going for you that children of this world would gladly trade places with you about. And yet you got a wayside heart, a stony ground heart, a thorny heart. You know what the sower does? He just keeps sowing the seed. Said verse 17, I may not get off this. This is supposed to be one of them 30-minute sermons. Amen. Brother Mike, I'm glad the first 17 years of my life, the sower just kept on sowing. You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to reach everywhere He can with the seed. Amen. I don't know if we got anybody here that, amen, I know a lot of farming and the way that things are planted in our day. Amen. It's done with tractors and plows and seeders and things in this day. Amen. But sometimes we'll. Amen. Brother Lucas can identify with this. We'll go sow some of them deer pots. Amen, up in the woods, and they got this stuff called throw and grow. And throw and grow just comes in a bag, and you go out in the woods. Amen, you ain't got to have a tractor. You just rake away a few leaves. Amen, whatever area you want to sow. Amen, things to, amen, grow to feed the deer and draw in the wildlife. Amen, you just reach in the bag and you throw it. Amen, and you're not really worried about where it goes. Amen, you're just making sure there's plenty of seed on the ground. And I say, thank God, I'm glad. Amen. He kept throwing plenty of seed out. Amen. Trying, that's what the Lord Jesus desires today. Amen. The sowing of seed that will reach every corner of your heart. Anticipating the day that it'll find some good ground in there somewhere. The reach of the sown seed. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed. Ain't you thankful? It came to pass one day. Amen. Boy, there's so much preach here. Here's the main part of the message. Notice with me the results of the sown seed. All the sown seed falls upon a diversity of soils in the field. Amen. Sower again, he is doing this without discrimination. He's doing it with an anticipation that there's going to be some fruit, but but as he sows. The Lord says, look yonder, hearken, listen to what I'm saying, and look at what you're seeing. The sower, though he sows and he's reaching every corner of the field, notice the kinds of soil determine what happens to the seed. Now I want to say this morning, however many times you've said in a service, seed has been sown into your heart, something has happened to that seed. You're listening this morning. I know I'm in a little different gear. But Jack, the fact that we're listening today to the Word of God right now as it's being sown, something is happening to the seed. And it's not my goal this morning. We'll embark upon it in weeks to come. We're probably going to bark on the parable of the sower for a little while. But my goal this morning is in light of what Jesus said is happening as the sower sows the seed. Number one, can we say in the first ground, the first soil that He draws our attention to, we can say, amen, that some seed was removed. It was sown, but it fell on the wayside. Jesus said, look yonder, a sower went out to sow, and it came to pass that as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside. Why it laid on that hardened path, why it laid on that cold ground that, amen, had been trampled by the foot of men. Jesus said, look yonder, and you see the fowls of the air swooping in, and before the soil can ever be softened, and before the seed can ever take root, a fowl of the air come, and they snatch it away as food unto themselves. Jesus would liken this later. We'll see it maybe even on next week in the wayside heart. He likens the fowl of the air to be that of the ministry of Satan. And as soon as the seed is sown, the fowls of hell come and snatch away and remove that truth.
Amen.
Some people can't get a hold of truth, the truth of salvation, the truth of holy living, the truth of a godly life, because Satan keeps removing that truth.
Amen.
And I say the devil is not your friend.
Amen.
If you would be privileged to hear truth such as you're hearing this morning, amen, make sure, amen, that you do not allow the seed to be removed. If you understand the devil knows what happens when truth finds its way into your life. Julie, when truth penetrates your heart and truth penetrates your will, you understand the devil trembles at the thought, amen, of the truth getting into somebody's life. He knows truth changes lives. He knows truth sets you on a different course. He knows that truth, amen, softens the hardest of hearts. So today, while we're preaching and spreading and sowing truth, amen, there is the possibility some seed can be removed.
Amen.
Heard people, amen, it's kind of humorous, amen, and it's humorous, and I laugh about it to keep from crying sometimes. People come and they'll have heard me preach something that I preached 100 times, and they'll talk about it like it's the first time I ever preached it. Or somebody else will come through and preach the same exact thing I did 3 weeks ago, and there are people going, man, I've never heard that before, and I scratch my head going, what in the world? Where were you 3 weeks ago? You know what happened? As the seed was being sown, there was a collector of that seed gathering, trying to gather all of it that he could to remove it out of your life. You better watch out for seed being removed.
Number two. Amen. Some seed was not only removed, some seed was resisted. Jesus speaks of a stony ground where the seed falls. And without going into great detail, this would have looked like from the surface. Amen. To be good earth and good ground. Jesus said the problem is there was not much earth there underneath. Amen. A thin layer of soil and dirt and ground. There were stony places. Amen. And though the seed began to be germinated, amen, it was quickly resisted. Amen. By the hardness under which, amen, the seed had fallen. Amen. Can I say this morning, amen, that His truth is being presented again today. And every time the gospel is given out, and that seed of truth of salvation is sold, amen, some seed is resisted. Amen. It begins to try to reach down. The hardened flesh says no. And the hardened flesh says wait a little while. And the flesh says put it off another opportunity. And there begins to be a resistance of the truth of the Word of God. My question today is, what's happening to the seed? Everybody look here, and this is not a braggartly statement. What I preach from this pulpit, there's nothing wrong with it. It's good seed. It ain't always preached in a perfect way, but it is perfect seed.
Amen.
What's happening to it then? Why is there little to no fruit? Why does it seem like, amen, when it's given and it's given in power and it looks like there's a springing up, all of a sudden there is a resistance to truth? What's happening to the seed? Amen. Some seed was removed. Some seed was resisted. Number three, some seed was restricted. Christ speaks of the thorny ground. Should have been the corners of the field in which little attention had been given to plowing, and briars and weeds and thistles and thorns had grown up, and the seed falls among all of that, and it springs up. Jesus said, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. In other words, there was a restriction of truth. Amen. And Christ would go on to explain this. Amen. That deals with the world. Amen. He deals with the devil. He deals with the flesh. And now He's dealing with the world. He said the cares of this world. That's what the thorns are. That's what's doing the choking. Amen. Can I remind us this morning that the world is not interested in truth. It doesn't want you laying hold on truth. It wants you walking in its postmodernist theories and opinions that we can't even know what truth is. The world has always been in opposition with truth, and they always will be. You cannot be of the world. You cannot love the world and have a right relationship to truth.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you, we preach our ever-loving guts out. We're trying to do the work of the Master and sow seed. You know, and I ain't trying to be mean. I ain't trying to be whatever this morning. I'm trying to be helpful is what I'm trying to do.
Amen.
You know what the sad truth of the matter is? And this is the truth of the matter. Seed has been sown. And before the sun goes down today, three-quarter of us will spend some time being influenced by the world, and the world will choke the very truth that God gave us today.
You are right.
We wonder why we can't hear it. We wonder why we can't see it.
We wonder why we're so confused. We wonder why we feel so choked. And we blame it on standards. And we blame it on the preacher. And we blame it on old time religion. I got news for you. Jesus said, what is choking you is the cares of this world. Your problem ain't standards. Your problem ain't a preacher. Amen. Your problem ain't the rules. Your problem ain't the seed. Amen. Your problem is you're being choked by an ungodly world. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Preach on, man of God. Preach on. Let us have it. We need this today. Some seed was removed, the work of the devil. Some seed was restricted, the work of the flesh. Some seed was restricted. Some of it was resisted. That's the flesh. Restricted is the world. We have a threefold enemy that is in direct opposition to us knowing, receiving, being impacted, and producing fruit. Because of the truth of God's Word.
Amen.
Thank God Jesus said some of that seed's fallen on good ground.
Amen.
So though some was removed and some was resisted and some was restricted, there was some seed being received. In this service this morning, there's some. Amen. They'll never see it. It'll be removed from their heart and their mind before they get in the car and pull out of the driveway. There's some. Hey, we're resisting over the course of the next 24 hours. Amen. It's been delivered. It's been given. Amen. But their flesh is going to resist it all the way. Our others, the world, is going to restrict the growing of that and choke truth out of their life. And in the very same service, it blows your mind to think about it. In the very same service, there are others that are going, I see. I hear it. I get it. I understand it.
Amen.
Jesus said, without going there, Jesus said in Matthew's account of this, when they come to him and they say, what is the meaning of this? Why are you speaking in parables? Jesus said, and he alludes to it in Mark's account, this part of it, Brother Mike, he said, I'm doing this so that they don't grasp it, lest they be converted. And I'll deal with that maybe in a moment, maybe not. But here's what he turned back to his disciples and he said, blessed are your eyes and your ears because you see and you hear. You see in the great multitude that was there, if we use the percentages as Christ has laid them out in the parable, amen, 75% of them are going to go on being blinded. They're going to go on being deaf. They're going to go on without any productive result of truth in their life. There was a quarter of that crowd that said, we see it, we get it, we understand, we embrace it, we long for it, we love it. Oh, it's all that we could have ever hoped for. Jesus said, when you receive the truth, your eyes are blessed and your ears are blessed and you can produce fruit. Now, it may not be as much fruit as somebody else is producing. Some it'll be 30, some it'll be 60, and some it'll be 100.
Amen.
Some seed was received.
Amen.
I ask you the question this morning, what's happening to the seed? There's nothing wrong with the sower. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It is the soil upon which the sower is sowing the seed that is doing something with that seed. What's happening? Preacher, I just don't get it. Why? Well, you know, I just don't see it the way you do. Why? Everybody okay? I know I'm preaching in a postmodernism generation. Amen. I know we are. And now, And now postmodernism's, it's got a different slant today than it did back yonder. Back yonder, when postmodernism came out, don't ask me why I'm on this. It just has been irking me. I'm seeing so much of it. Brother A.L., years ago in the early stages of postmodernism, they looked at people like your pastor who says this is the truth, this is right, this is wrong, this is black and white, and there is no compromise for it. They looked at us as though we were holy rollers.
Amen.
They called us old fuddy-duddies. They said there's no way that you can possibly know that. Now postmodernism is taking a little bit different of a slant. Now they don't call us holy rollers. Now they call us evil people. They think we're evil because we stand up and say, God's Word says. And they're treating us like we're evil people. They view us like we're the problem. And somehow in their own twisted, endemic nature, they view themselves as the wise and the virtuous. Everybody ought to look up here. This is really important what I'm getting ready to say. You go against that book and you are a fool. You are not virtuous. There's so much removal and resistance and restriction to truth in this day.
Amen.
They ain't even 25% of them getting hold of it, Brother Jack.
Right.
Amen. The average pastor of our day who is worth his salt and trying to be a man of God, I'm not talking about being perfect. Y'all know I'm transparent. I ain't perfect. I got flaws. I ain't the perfect sower. He's the perfect sower.
Amen.
And I'm trying to be in line with all the truth we give and we sow. Can I say today, the average pastor of our day that's just trying to do what God has called him to do is facing so many restrictions.
Amen.
I didn't plan on this going this way. He faced resistance at every hand.
Yep, you're right.
Amen. So true.
Not from the drunkards on the bar stool. From people sitting on the pew and have seed constantly sown in their life. There's a resistance to it. There's a choking of it. There is the attempt to remove it completely out of the pulpit in these days. Amen. What's happening to the seed? The reach, the results? Amen. Boy, I've messed this up bad. Notice the revelation of the sown seed. Verses 9 through 13. After this parable, there is further revelation considering the sown seed. Three things involved here. Number one, the admonition to hear. Here's Jesus' conclusion to his parable. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen.
In other words, I've done my job. Now it's up to you to receive what's been given.
Amen.
There's an admonition to hear. There's an admonition. You better quit being so stiff-necked and dull of hearing. Use the two ears God give you. Why'd God give mankind two ears? So that you could hear what God had to say. It's the admonition to hear. Notice, I love this point right here, but Jack, there is the appeal for help. What do you do when you don't understand all this being sown? You do what this crowd did that was willing to receive it. They came to the Lord and said, Lord, would you help us? Well, there's going to be some things, preach, you ain't always just going to understand it just like that. You're not always going to grasp it. You're not always going to get a hold of it, and it just began to immediately start producing fruit in your life. But if you have a desire to know truth, and there's an ear to hear truth, and you hear the Lord say, he that hath ears, let him hear. And you go,
Well, I've heard it, I just don't quite understand it. You know what you do? You make an appeal to get some help from the Lord about what is the problem? Where is the disconnect? Why can't I see and hear like I'm supposed to see and hear?
Amen.
Amen. Ain't you glad we've got a Heavenly Father that we can appeal for help?
Amen.
Notice the answer from heaven. Oh my. Man, I'm out of time. I'm out of time. The giving of this parable. Jesus ultimately, you know what he says? He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. You know what the Lord's saying? I'm speaking this parable because some of y'all's going to get it and some of y'all ain't. And the Lord knew that. And the Lord designed this whole message of this parable to revolve around some getting it and some not getting it. In fact, he quotes from Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10, out of verse number 12, he said that seeing they may see and not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, their sins should be forgiven them. He said, preacher, that's awful strong. The Lord is saying he don't want to forgive their sin. No, here's what the Lord is saying. They've heard it over and over and over and over and over, and it's been sown again and again and again in their life. Jesus said, I'm done with them. Say, but preacher, you said that there was a reach to the sown seed. He sows in any and all, and he sows without discrimination and with anticipation. But Jesus in that day in Mark 4 is preaching to a crowd that for 1,000 years God has sent them prophets, sent his word, and they killed the prophets and they choked the word and they said no. No, no, no. And now God sends his own son to them from heaven. They still are not interested in what God has to say. And so the giving, you got to get this now, Brother Mark, don't miss this. The giving of the parable of the sower, for some, is grace. But for others, it is judgment. There are some that are going to hear it and go, I get it. Jesus is going to say they're blessed. Brother Larry, there is another crowd. Brother Bob, there's another part of that great multitude that's going to walk away going, huh?
Absolutely.
What was he saying?
Absolutely.
A sower sowing seed on the ground in a field, huh? What's that all about? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. You know what it was to them? It was judgment. The Lord saying, you've had plenty of opportunities. Amen. Boy, we're quiet this morning. We preached her down quiet, Brother A.L. We've done got her all the way down. What's happening to the seed? Some of you, you've heard you need to get saved. You know you need to get saved. God, the Holy Ghost, has sown that into your heart and life. What keeps happening to the seed? Is it getting removed? Is it being resisted? Is it being restricted? Why don't today you say, I'm done with all that. I need the truth of the gospel. I'm going to receive that and be saved. What I'm preaching, Miss Mary, is just as relevant to those that are saved as it is those that are lost. I think the predominant theme of what Jesus is speaking about is the gospel, but it's the word of God. It's anything from God's word that is truth.
Amen.
You know what we need to do? You know what churches all across our land need to do? They need to get on an altar and slay the philosophy of postmodernism out of their heart. Say, you know what? It don't matter what I think or how I view things. What matters is, before I determine what I'm going to accept or reject, I'm going to value God's word and the truth that He puts on it.
Amen. Good preacher.
Oh me. Oh me. Candy, come, sister, to the piano, if you will. I don't know. I feel like I've made a mess out of this. My question's, what's happening to the seed? What's happening to the seed? Here, and I don't mean this in a braggartly way. Daniel, I don't mean this in a braggartly way. You're not sitting in some carnal, contemporary, watered down the truth kind of church. You think in your mind, man, I'd be better off somewhere else. Here's what you don't understand. It's too late. It's too late for you. You can do that. You can do that next week. You can go sit somewhere else, but it's too late. The seed's already been sown. You have been given truth week in and week out, at least counting Sunday school hour, four times a week, truth is being sown to you. Now here's what Jesus said. This is not me. Boy, we got to go. I know we got to go. I'm just trying to find a place. I feel like we're going to crash land if I don't just take another minute. Here's what Jesus said. The evidence the seed has been received into good ground is there's fruit of that. Right? There's no fruit when the seed was stole. Oh, there's a blade sprung up in the stony ground, but no fruit. Even in the thorny ground, it grows up, but there's a choking, and Jesus said it had no fruit. The evidence that you're doing something with truth is there'll be fruit in your life. There's no fruit. My question is, what's happened to the seed?
Amen.
Let's stand together.